spoke to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Let us listen to the words of God with open hearts. This story picks up after first 17 verses. It's all genealogy. The 40 generations that bring us to Jesus. It picks up the story. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When Jesus's mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, an upright person, unwilling to disgrace her, decided to divorce her quietly. This was Joseph's intention when suddenly an angel of God appeared in a dream and said, Joseph, heir to the house of David, don't be afraid to wed Mary. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She is to have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Salvation, because he will save the people from their sins. All this will happen to fulfill what God has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth, and the child will be named Emmanuel, a name that means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of God had directed, and he went ahead with the marriage. And he did not have intercourse with her until she had given birth. And she had a son, and they named him Jesus. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. They're everywhere right now, are they not? On our screens, in our living rooms, playing in the background while we wrap gifts and bake cookies, all of those wonderful Christmas movies. And not just the Christmas movies, but those Christmas movies that talk about love. Because isn't that just the bestest, sweetest thing to talk about in Advent is love. Right? Love actually is all around, we are told. On the Hallmark Channel, we always know that love will arrive just in time, usually in a snowstorm of some sort, in a little quaint diner where the misunderstandings are all cleaned up and before the credits roll, they live happily ever after. The Family Stone, love is messy and awkward and uncomfortable around the dinner table. And the Charlie Brown Christmas, love shows up in a bare little tree and a child asking if anyone truly knows the meaning of Christmas. I think these stories pull on our heartstrings because we can recognize ourselves inside of these movies. And truth be told, in all of the different ways that love shows up. Love is complicated. Love is vulnerable. Love is hopeful. And love is very rarely tidy. It does not come all wrapped in a pretty package with a pretty little bow that never ever tarnishes. We are at the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it brings us to the love candle. Not the sentimental kind that shows up on the greeting cards, in the perfectly staged manger scenes, or even on the Hallmark Channel, but the kind of love that costs something. The kind of love that asks us to make room when we would rather protect ourselves. The kind of love that shows up quietly and changes everything. Now, Matthew's story that I read from this morning is drastically and dramatically different from the story of Luke that we have been following up to now. Granted, there are only two birth narratives, Matthew and Luke. They're the only two that tell us the story of the birth. Mark picks up at baptism, and John is just out in creatal space, right? Their stories are very, very different from each other, and yet we tend to conflate them all into one story so that there's even more facets to the story and places to understand. Matthew offers no angels singing to the shepherds. And the reason why? There aren't any even shepherds in Matthew's telling. It sits in contrast to Luke's telling story of Mary. Luke focuses on Mary and her journey. Matthew looks at Joseph. And that matters. It's really important that we bring Joseph's story in as well, because the story is about love expressed, not in the Magnificat, not in singing and rejoicing and kicking babies, but in faithful action. Joseph is described as a righteous man. In Scripture, righteousness isn't about being morally superior to anybody else. It's about living in a right relationship, living in a right relationship with God and with each other. Joseph is righteous not because he follows the letter of the law, but because he holds the law with mercy. When Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, his world is absolutely devastated. His world collapses in upon itself. Things are no longer going the way that he had it all planned out. The future that he imagined, his reputation, his place in the community, his sense of what is right and orderly, all of it is now in question. And he doesn't know which way to go. He has every legal right to distance himself from Mary. He actually has a legal right to publicly shame her. At that time, that was the rule, is you could shame her for being pregnant before marriage. Instead, Joseph decides that quietly dismissing her is the most compassionate option available to him under all of the circumstances. And that is exactly what he plans to do. Just walk away. It's not going to shame her. She can do whatever she needs to do. He'll pick up the pieces of his life and try to figure out what's next after his love is gone. But love has a way of interrupting our carefully considered plans, does it not? In a dream, the angel speaks to Joseph. And again, we want to conflate those stories and say that it's Gabriel that comes to Joseph. It's not. This angel has no name, but the angel of the Lord. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Up to this point, fear is at the center of Joseph's story. Fear of shame, fear of misunderstanding, fear of what others are going to say about him, fear of stepping outside of what is safe and acceptable. And the angel tells Joseph something extraordinary, that this child will be called Emmanuel, God with us. I like that little line because not only do we get the gender reveal, but we also get the name. And how many times have we struggled after the gender reveal to figure out the name of that child? I got stories abound for that. But love in this story looks like Joseph waking up and choosing trust over fear. Love looks like staying when leaving would be easier. Love looks like bearing the weight of other people's assumptions. Love looks like obedience that doesn't fully understand, but always says yes. One of my favorite movies, Love Actually, and I can watch that any time of the year. It's not just a Christmas movie for me. But the movie opens up in Heathrow Airport, is the beginning of it, and there is a sound over. If you haven't watched the movie, really you should. And there's a sound over of this, and it says that love is found in unexpected places, between unlikely people, in quiet gestures, in sacrifices that are never fully explained. This is Joseph's love. This is Advent love. Joseph never speaks a word in this gospel. His love is expressed entirely through what he does. He takes Mary as his wife. He names the child Jesus. He makes room in his life for a future that was not exactly what he had planned. In the Christmas movie, Charlie Brown's Christmas, Charlie Brown asks, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And the answer comes not with tinsel or applause after the pageant, but with a simple story of God entering the world through vulnerability and trust. Joseph's love is like Charlie Brown's tree, small, unimpressive, easily overlooked, and yet becomes the place where God chooses to dwell. In The Family Stone, another really good Christmas movie, it isn't sweet. It is not a comfortable movie. It brings up all the trigger points of dysfunctional families. It's awkward. People say the wrong things, feelings get hurt, assumptions are made. Everyone in that movie shows up carrying their own expectations about how the family should work and look and love, right? And almost nothing goes according to plan. And yet they stick together. They figure it out. That's what Joseph's love looks like. That is Advent love. It isn't perfect. It does not resolve all of the tension. It doesn't guarantee understanding or approval. Love in this story means making room for what we did not plan. It means choosing presence over pride. It means staying at the table when things are extremely uncomfortable. And it means believing that God can work through messy families, complicated relationships, and imperfect people. This is how God chooses to enter the world, not through power and prestige, but through human love that makes room for the unexpected. God entrusts the incarnation of a young woman who says yes, and to a young man who refuses to walk away. In a season when we are tempted to equate love with perfection, perfect families, perfect gatherings, perfectly wrapped gifts, perfect cookies, the meal comes out all at the right time, at the right temperature, all the place cards are in place, right? This story reminds us that love is often found in all of that imperfection, in complicated relationships and situations that do not resolve easily, neatly, or sometimes quickly. Advent love does not erase difficulty. It meets us within it. The name Emmanuel, is not a promise that life will be easy. It's a promise that God will be present. God is with us in the uncertainty. God is with us in the quiet courage. God is with us when love asks more than we ever expected. As we lit the candle of love this morning, we are not celebrating love as an idea. We are bearing witness to love as a choice, made again and again, over and over, in the small, brave acts of faithfulness that shape our lives. One small act of that braveness was that last week we got one more family. The court systems called and said, "Can you take one more family? They just arrived." And we said, "Sure." So three of us scrambled together, and we now have gifts for that fifth family. One small act of love, when we are all so busy running here and there and doing and giving. So I give great thanks to all of the hands that have made the Christmas boxes this year as beautiful as they are, coming in bits and pieces and gatherings and whatevers. Thank you for sharing that love, because that is one brave act when we step out of our comfort zone to help people that we don't know. What size are they? Oh, they're an 11-year-old boy. Yeah, but what size is that? Yep, it's 11-year-old boy. Okay, go. Right? So may we, like Joseph, listen for God's voice, even when it comes in dreams and disruptions. May we listen to God's voice and choose love, make the room for that love, and may we trust that when we do make room for God's love, for Emmanuel, God is already with us. Amen.